Intercession: How to Ask in Prayer. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is Quiet Time Coaching, episode 250. And today we're talking about intercession. How to intercede in prayer. Now, this recording is part of a set based on a book called How to Pray by Pete Gregg, which I'm reading as part of the Renovare Book Club, which I'm currently involved in. You can find the links to the book and the book club in the show notes. So this episode is, the sixth, I think, now? Yes, the sixth, focused on the book. And I hope you've been enjoying it. You don't have to read the book to get what I hope is something useful out of these recordings, but you might like to get a hold of a copy for yourself. I've been reading the Kindle version. I finished it, in fact, so I'm going back through it now, putting these podcasts together from lessons I've learned and material that I found useful in the book. I'll do a full review of the book in its entirety in a week or two. That's going to come in the parallel podcast to this called What We Are Reading. But today, just for today, we're going to focus on the sixth chapter of the book called Intercession, How to Ask God for Others. And the theme scripture, just a phrase really, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 would be the phrase, Your kingdom come. So about God's priorities for other people. Now last week we explored petition, which of course is asking in prayer, asking our Heavenly Father for the bread, right? The daily bread we need. So this week we're moving on to petitioning on behalf of other people, which is often called intercession. Now, just before digging into what the book says about intercession, we should begin, of course, as we always should, with Jesus. And in fact, it's a little odd, but that's something the book doesn't emphasize. It doesn't emphasize Jesus as an intercessor, but he is our intercessor. For example, from Romans 8, verse 34, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, two verses that have become very meaningful to me personally over the years. They say this: Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And then, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, my intercession and yours is not of the same quality as that of Jesus, but part of the reason we intercede for others is because of his example. What is his motivation? I suggest it must be love. In his book, Pete Gregg quotes Richard Foster, who said this: If we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them, and this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. So here is our motivation for intercession. It is love for those who need God's help. And it's because of the love of God to us expressed in Christ. Since Jesus is interceding for me, it becomes my privilege to intercede on behalf of others. So with these thoughts in mind, let's turn to some suggestions from the book to help us intercede on behalf of our fellow human beings. I've got four for us from the book. Firstly, get informed. Get informed. In other words, if we're going to pray for situations and for other people, we should know the facts. What does this mean? Well, when you're praying for people, pray for them by name. Don't just pray for the Prime Minister. Pray for, at the time of recording, Boris Johnson. Don't just pray for the President of the United States. Pray for, I don't know who it is right now, because I'm recording this on the day of the results of the US election. I don't think they're quite clear as I record this, whether it's Trump or Biden, but never mind. Whoever it is, pray for them by name. If you're praying for a member of the congregation, pray by name. If you're praying for a family member, pray by name. If you're praying for somebody else in the world, pray for them by name. If you're praying for a situation elsewhere in the globe, perhaps a disaster, perhaps a political situation, check out the news reports about that government, that leader, that environmental issue, that financial crisis, that political controversy. At least find out a little bit. Google your favorite news provider, whoever they might be. Find out a bit more. It's happened to me more than once that I've prayed for a particular answer to a situation abroad, only to talk about it with a citizen from that country who were praying for a very different outcome. So the question to ask ourselves is, when we're considering interceding, how can I be better informed? Would a conversation with the person concerned help? Perhaps you could subscribe to a magazine or a newsletter which contains more details about the issue. Firstly, get informed. Secondly, get inspired. God's word is our best source of inspiration for intercession. It's a bulwark against the tendency to pray for what we feel is right or our preferred outcome and to miss, sadly, God's will. Now, granted, God's word does not give us his will in every circumstance. It doesn't tell us exactly what to pray in for every person in every situation. But it does give us a great deal of guidance, at least in principles. Jonathan Edwards said this: that which God abundantly makes the subject of his promises, God's people should abundantly make the subject of their prayers. In other words, if we want to know what to pray for, then we should look at what God's promises are and make that the subject, the substance of our prayers. So a good question to ask when we're considering interceding in a situation is, what promises or which promises of God apply to this situation, to this context? Pete Gregg puts it this way in his book: by identifying relevant promises in God's word and focusing them on a particular person, place, or situation, you can be sure that you are interceding for them in line with God's purposes and therefore in the name of Jesus. Get informed, get inspired. And thirdly, interestingly, get indignant. Get indignant. We are designed to pray not only with our mind, but with our heart, all of who we are, including our emotions. Pete Gregg makes the point that there is an appropriate quality of demand in intercessory prayer. He says this: one of the most surprising secrets of the Lord's Prayer is that its original Greek renders every verb, hallow, come, be done, give, forgive, and so on, in the imperative mood, which can be a forceful, assertive, commanding tone of entreaty. Now, certainly our times of quiet with God are meant to be comforting at times, conversational in nature often, but there is a place for pleading, for urging, and perhaps even demanding answers. How do you feel about that? About approaching God with a demanding tone? Do we see it elsewhere in Scripture? In the Psalms? However we approach this aspect of pleading, urging, and even demanding in intercessory prayer, it's got to be done with humility. But if it's a matter that really matters, if you're praying about a matter that really matters, then it needs to be expressed in such a way that communicates to God that it matters to you. And some of that is a spirit of indignation. This isn't right, God. This must change. This surely isn't in line with your will. These kinds of prayers. How do you feel about getting indignant? Fourthly and finally, get in sync. Get in sync. Intercessory prayer is meant to be both solo and choir, you might say. Take Nehemiah. Nehemiah prayed a desperate personal prayer of intercession in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. Look that up. I haven't got time to quote it here, but he is desperately pleading with God for the state of the people of Israel and Jerusalem. That's personal. And then later, he and all those with him prayed for protection collectively. They interceded with God. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. And the early church was like this too, wasn't it? You see people praying personally, and you see them praying corporately. When they're faced with their first severe persecution in Acts chapter 4, what do? They gather together and they raise their voices together in prayer to God. Acts 4 verse 24. And the result of that corporate intercession, chapter 4 verse 31. After they prayed collectively together, interceded together, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Intercessory prayer. Get informed. Get inspired. Get indignant. And get in sync. In my experience, talking to Christians over the years, some of us feel that we are naturally intercessors. We enjoy praying for other people in situations, and we engage with it in a way that seems natural to us. But some of us, that's not it. We have other strengths and come to our relationship with God from different angles. That's okay. But part of the purpose of reading a book like this for me is to expose myself to aspects of prayer which are, well, they're part of the way Jesus prayed, but they're not so natural perhaps to me, perhaps not so comfortable for me. And I need to read and listen and learn. Intercessory prayer, I would say for me personally, is not my natural default, but it is part of what it means to have a healthy relationship with God. So I'm hoping and praying that having read this book and thought about this more, it will become more naturally part of the way in which I connect with my Heavenly Father. For sure, the most significant inspiration for me in growing in the area of intercession is knowing that Jesus is an interceder, and in particular, he intercedes for me out of love. And if I'm going to love people, I say I love them. I say I love my family. I say I love the Watford congregation. I say I love my friends in Thames Valley and elsewhere. But if I do, then I will intercede for them. So some questions to think about. What stands out to you about intercession? When you think about intercession, when you look at the examples in the Bible of intercession, what stands out to you about it? What seems significant about it? And how might your prayer life grow if you could learn how to intercede faithfully? If I might make a suggestion, why not make intercession a specific, conscious part of your daily prayers for the next 7 days, between now and the next time I put out another Quiet Time Coaching podcast? There are some other resources mentioned in the book, which I'm going to put into the show notes, further reading, and some online resources about intercession. So those are in the show notes. And next week, we're going to go on to look at the difficult issue of unanswered prayer and disappointment in prayer. Well, that's next time. Well, if you found this useful, please do pass the link on to somebody. And if you wouldn't mind, leave me a review in your podcast provider of choice, or perhaps on my website. You can leave a comment there, malcolmcox.org. And if you've got any questions, do drop me a line. The email is malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can even leave a voicemail actually on the website. There's a facility there for that if you'd prefer to do that. If you like my newsletter, then please do sign up at the website, and I'll send you my lovely weekly newsletter and a free ebook on how God grows his people. So there you go. You'll get something pretty much for nothing. Well, that's it for this week. And I hope that you find your times of quiet with God enriching and empowering and just special, really special. And I hope that intercession will be part of that this week for you and for me. Take care, and God bless.